The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So if we took a survey and asked everyone, why are we here on Wednesday night, we'd have a bunch of different answers. The most general would be, well, it's something about Mary. Maybe it's something about original sin. Right? The wrong answer would be it was the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb, because we're less than 3 weeks away from Christmas. That would never work. So that's the way you remember that one. Think something closer to March 25th for Jesus' conception. If we then said it's Mary's conception in the womb of St. Anne, her mother, we'd be getting close. But I'd suggest we're here for more than any of those reasons. We're here to celebrate God's just outlandish graciousness to us. We heard in the first reading of the fall, right? Or at least the after effects of the fall. Adam and Eve were enjoying paradise. We don't know if they enjoyed paradise for 2 days or 200 years, right? We don't know how long it took them to say, "Hey, that tree in the middle, that's looking pretty tasty. We need to sneak on over there and see if we can have some of that." Curiosity gets them, right? They enjoyed original beatific vision, right? I mean, they walked daily with God, and they still chose to walk away from that. And they knew how clearly they had fallen, that when God comes to walk with them the next day in the evening, God's like, "Hey, where'd you guys go? Why are you hiding from me?" And I'm like, "Come on, God. You know exactly where they are. Don't play this game. You know exactly what was going to happen." Or did he? If God always sees the best in us, he always sees the best in us. And maybe that's all he sees. We'll never know. But God saw the very best in Adam and Eve and thought they would continue in that blessedness to eternity. And then they disappear, right? They're hiding. God is actually looking for them. Where did you go? We're hiding because, well, you didn't give us any clothes, and we haven't been able to get to Walmart, and it's complicated. And he says, uh-oh, I know what you guys did. You've been eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Didn't I ask you not to do that? And then the little passed the buck, right? Wasn't me, it was her. Wasn't me, it was the snake. Well, the snake gets stomped on. Poor snake. Being a lover of reptiles, I kind of think this is bad press. But something happened, right? There was a brokenness in the relationship with God. Why are we here? To celebrate the restoration of that. Mary as the new Eve. Now, why was she protected from the stain of sin from her very conception as a little, like, zygote, right? Because she needed to be the new Eve. That was the grace she needed to follow her vocation to be the mother of God. Now that gets us to us. What grace do we have? Or what graces do we need to follow our vocation? I'd suggest we have every single one of them. That's what we're here to celebrate. God's outlandish graciousness that just showers graces upon us. Right? Like a southeast storm, showering graces upon us. They're coming sideways into our ear, right? You've been out in the rain and it's come into your ear. It's been bad. That's how much grace God is pouring on us, right? And I'm wrapping myself in Gore-Tex to keep it off of me. Lord, I don't want your grace. Because it's going to ask me to do something different with my life. Do you think Mary was ready to have her whole life, like, cast to the wind? She didn't have a trip planned to see Elizabeth, right? Which happens next in the gospel. She wasn't ready to be divorced by her husband, Joseph, because she's found with child at 14, 16, right? She's like, I don't think so, Lord. How's this going to happen? And what'd the angel say? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Why do we fear at all what God is calling us to do? Right? What defect of character do I have that says, oh, Lord, what you're asking me to do is too big. I can't do that. Mary was fully human, living in desperate poverty, educated to some extent, but certainly she doesn't have the two master's degrees in theology that I have. Right? She had to walk every day not knowing that Jesus would rise from the dead and change everything. She maybe had to walk every day with people in town going, yeah, not really Joseph's. But what did she say every day? Lord, here I am. You've asked me to do this. You know exactly who I am. You know all of my faults and all of my blessedness. And so if you're willing to ask me to do this, I'm willing to say yes, as impossible as it might seem. Right? We've all gone up against impossible odds, and because of God's grace, more than survived, we've thrived. I know I have. But when I shrink back and say, you're asking me to do something really big, Lord, and I'm not ready, and I frankly don't want to be ready, that's when I lose some of that graciousness that God is blessing us with. So, given the choice, right, in the next 24 hours, not the rest of your life, we're just talking the next 24 hours, choose the hard thing and let God live large in you. If he's willing to ask Mary to do the hard thing, he's probably asking me to do the hard thing and waiting for me to say, yes, Lord, let it be done to me just as you desire.